that I've spent crazy hours working. I slept very little, and people were seriously concerned. He was 70 years old already, and people were saying maybe he should adopt a little lighter schedule. So the Rebbe said, not only he is not going to adopt a lighter schedule, he is actually going to add in his work. And then when the Rebbe turned 70, he said that he is taking upon himself to open that year 70 new Chabad institutions. Just for you to understand, today, 70 new Chabad institutions probably get opened every month. Back then, 70 new Chabad institutions meant pretty much doubling the current amount of Chabad institutions all over the world. And the Rebbe said he's not planning to slow down. And Moshe Rabbeinu never retired. Avram Avinu never retired. King David never retired. Now, when you work, you obviously, like we said, have to make sure that you are doing it the way God wants. We said that apparently your work is there because God places you in these places. Your work is there because God wants you to do it. So obviously, if God wants you to do it, and we believe that God is the one who is running the world, the only way how you can possibly do it is the way God wants. You see, we are Jews, and we believe in a monotheistic religion called Judaism. Monotheistic religion means that God is the one who's running the world, which means that everything that I get is from God. This means that my money are not coming from my boss. My money is not coming from my client. My money is not coming from my business. My money is coming from God. You will say, yeah, but my boss is the one who's signing my paycheck. It's true. And son is the one who is giving me light. Just like there were people who were bowing down to son just because son is the one who is giving them light, there are people who are bowing down to their boss just because their boss is signing their paycheck. But your boss's power is the same as son's power. Your clients, who you think your business is dependent on, have as much freedom of choice as wind, water, and Nile River and the sun. So this means that the job that I am performing is supposed to be done according to the laws that God himself gave. And do you know what is the first thing that God wants from me? The first thing that God wants from me when I work is to trust him that my work is going to be successful. The Talmud says an interesting thing. The Talmud says, who is a believer? A believer is somebody who plans and he believes that the seeds are going to grow. You will read it, you'll be very confused. One second, an atheist don't plant seeds? Anybody who wants food is going to be planting seeds. The Talmud answers, no. You see, whenever you plant seeds, there's always a chance they're going to grow, the chance they're not going to grow. Nobody knows what's going to happen. We Jews would not be allowed to be planting seeds just for a chance. It would be wasting products. You take a good product, a seed, and you put it in the ground, literally down the drain. Why, just because of a chance it might grow? No. I know that if I plant and I behave the way God wants me to, then these seeds are going to grow. That's my faith in God. And it's very important for us to have not only faith, but also trust. What is the difference between faith and trust? Faith is theoretical. Trust is practical. So many times people tell me, I have faith in you. Oh, you have faith in me. Very nice. Thank you very much. Could you please lend me $1,000 till next month? Oh, well, I don't have so much faith in you. They have faith in me. They don't trust me. There's a difference between faith and trust. Trust means I am relying on someone. The Rebbe, by the way, said that the secret of stability of American dollar is that it says on it, in God we trust. The U.S. dollar is the only currency in the world that says, in God we trust. And it is still the world currency. And unfortunately, shekel does not say, in God we trust. Boy Scouts have only one chapter all over the world that does not say that all members must pledge allegiance to God. It's Israeli chapter. But that's a sad part of our Jewish history. But the Rebbe said that because America is a country whose economy is built on faith in God, that's why it has such a stable economy. And if your business is going to be built on faith in God, if you're going to be sure that God's going to help you, This is the first thing that you need to secure your success. Why? Because when you trust God, this itself makes God come through with what you're relying on Him for. One famous millionaire said, "I am a self-made millionaire, and I believe in my Creator." So if you believe in yourself, God will look at you and say, "Hey, okay, you believe in yourself, so figure it out. I'll stand here and I'll watch." If you have faith in God, God sees it. God has no choice. He has to come through. And then, obviously, everything what I do has to be according to the laws of the Torah. Very important is that when I work according to the laws of the Torah, and I work only when I'm supposed to be working according to the laws of Torah. And the Torah tells me not to work on Shabbat, not to work on Jewish holidays. It might be very, very difficult. It might be terribly difficult. Sometimes it might seem impossible. But, first of all, if I don't work on Shabbat, then this gives blessing to the money that I'm making throughout the week. And the Rebbe says, you might think that you are making more money when you work on Shabbat. But you know what? Every businessman knows that your bottom line is not only dependent on how much money you make. It also depends on how much money you end up spending. You might be able to make a killing when you have your business open on Shabbat. But how much money are you going to spend on some unforeseeable expenses? How much money you'll end up spending on things which you didn't expect? Unforeseeable business expenses. God forbid, health expenses. All these things come and you have to pay from that money. There's a letter that the Rebbe wrote in 1961 to a businessman who was having doubts about how will he be able to sustain himself and run his business if he is going to be keeping Shabbat. So the Rebbe said, listen, God is the one who created this world, and God is the one who ran this world already for almost 6,000 years and sustained all the 3 billion people that live in this world. Well, in 1961, there were only 3 billion people here. And the same God who is sustaining 3 billion people around the world, I'm sure will be able to sustain you too. My only question is, do you really think that God is going to have a better chance of sustaining you if you are going against what this God said? How does it make sense to come to God asking for a blessing in doing something that He told you not to do? Talmud speaks about a thief who is about to break into a house for robbery, and he's standing there right before he breaks the door. He's praying to God, God, please help me in my endeavor. Well, which way is it? Some thieves are very religious, you know that. I've met those. So the Rebbe says, just makes sense. If you want God's blessing, just do what He wants. And then a very important thing is to also devote time to Torah study. Sometimes you do it right in the business. I know many people who have Torah study time, their lunch break, Torah study time during some sort of a break at work, or come home from work and have a Torah time study at home. But this is important. And then a very important thing that we said is also a ability to give charity. My work allows me to give charity. And we know that charity gives blessing to the money that I'm making. And there's a very important thing many people don't realize. You can give a nice check once a month. Once a month, I sit down with my books and I write out a check for donation. Or you could do something else. You could take the same amount of money, spread them across all the weekdays of that month, besides for Shabbat, because we cannot handle money on Shabbat. And every weekday, give a part of this amount. You will end up giving the same amount of money. Financially, it's going to work out the same. But spiritually, it's going to be different. Why? Because the mitzvah of giving charity is a daily obligation. I have to give charity every single day. If I give a check to charity once a month, I fulfill this mitzvah once. If I take the same amount of money and I break it up during my month, I do this mitzvah every day. And this is why it's important for us to have charity box. In Jewish homes, we have charity boxes. Why? Because I don't always have a person who is in need asking me for money. I don't always have a synagogue who is asking for my support. So if I have to give charity now, where do I give it? I give it to the charity box, which is later on going to be sent to, obviously, Ariel. And it's important to have a charity box at home and at your workplace too. Your workplace is a place where you make money. So obviously that office or that place, wherever you are working, has to have a charity box, because the money that you make there are going to be blessed with a charity box that you have right there. And then with all this, you will see a big blessing. I will tell you a fascinating thing. People so often ask me a very obvious question. Orthodox Jews, first of all, don't work on Shabbat. Second of all, don't work on Jewish holidays. And when it comes Tishrei, you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and some years, all of these holidays are in the middle of the week. You have to take a whole month off almost. The Pesach also is 8 days. And Friday, they have to close early, on one hand. On the other hand, Jews have large families. Orthodox Jews have to send their kids to private schools. Do you know how much private schools cost? You don't want to know how much private schools cost. Maybe you do know. Thank God you do know how much private schools cost. And then, on top of it, if you are married to a Orthodox woman, then you have a lot of kids, and she has to raise these kids. Very often, because of that, women end up not being able to have a big career, not able to pursue a big job, because they have to take care of kids. So now, people ask me, but I don't understand, how do Orthodox Jews survive financially? But then I also don't understand, I work in the Orthodox community, and I see people have nice houses, drive nice cars. People have good lives. How do they do it? Please explain. They have same jobs as we all do. We all live in the same country. We all live in the same economy. We all have the same inflation. How do they do it? And my answer is, I honestly cannot say anything. I don't have any other answer besides for blessing from God. Logically, it makes no sense. But you see people that do things how God wants, and in immediate, right now, at the moment, it might seem counterproductive. If I have to close on Shabbos, then obviously it seems like I'll be making money. If I have to give away money for charity, obviously I'm going to be losing this money. If I cannot do certain business deal because it's prohibited by Jewish law, then I'm going to be losing the money. There are many jobs which are prohibited in Jewish law. I cannot own a not kosher restaurant. I cannot own a store which is in the mall, because the mall you have to be open every day, including Shabbos. It seems like I'm in trouble. But that's only in the moment. In the long run, as we see in reality, it helps. It helps us be financially better off.